This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
First thing, get your hand down here.
Yeah.
What?
The originator of the UFC.
But Mohi Ahmed did not have the $1,000 the man was demanding for repairs.
And he said that I'm going to kill him now. Then I said, no, you are not touching my son. And then immediately he hit me.
One right hook.
So you don't drink alcohol?
Pork, I don't eat pork.
You don't eat pork.
The Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. How are you doing? How are you doing? As always, I have an exciting program for you guys here on the Dean Show. We have the Grand Master, Horian Gracie. This is the originator, the founder of the UFC. So those that have been watching Khabib and other greats, Hoyce Gracie of the Gracie family, he's a ninth degree black belt. He's the father of Hiron Henner, the brother of Hickson, Hoyce, Helson, Holker. We got him here. How are you, Horian?
Amazing. How are you? Thank you for the opportunity.
Good, good. I want to...
Black belt was a long time ago.
No, no, no. I mean red belt, ninth degree. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, good.
I had a lot to get in there. And I forgot to mention, probably over a span of over 10 years, has probably had more challenge matches than most people in the family. And so for those who are wondering, what are these challenge matches?
Since most martial arts focus primarily in punching and kicking, flexibility, power, and speed are absolute prerequisites for those arts.
So this is you now, right?
Observe that as soon as I go into a class...
What's he doing here? He's got a nice warm-up going on, huh?
He's deprived of his main requirement.
Yes, the distance
you strike.
Again, that whole idea at the time
all
was
the
made people realize that
now,
in a real
as soon as
know,
the
confrontation,
the
fights are going to end up on the ground. And,
see?
If you don't know what you're doing on the ground, you're vulnerable.
He even tries to reach for my groin.
I had countless of this kind of matches, not only at a place like this one here at El Camino College in California, but also people who come to the garage bringing instructors of different styles of martial arts to come compare against, you know, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And the results are pretty much the same.
So this is you now. This is a Hapkido black belt?
Yes, Hapkido black belt.
So he goes through this not once, twice, but he couldn't wrap his mind around things, huh?
Well, which is kind of an understandable position, you know. This actually happened three times in a row. A person who's been training, you know, a striking art for a long time, you know, 10, 15, 20 years in front of a mirror or in a school, but within the frame of mind of staying at a certain distance and trying to, you know, hit your opponent with a specific punch or a kick, it's hard for them to conceive that in a real fight, it's more than that. Now people are realizing nowadays that a fight gets in a clinch real quick and it goes to the ground, or, you know, the whole thing is not exactly what they hope for within the limitation of rules. So what these people had, him and many others, were just a wake-up call to say, hey, I can't expect my opponent to do what I want him to do, you know. He's going to do what he wants to do. And my goal, and anybody else who does grappling, is to grab the opponent, take him to the ground, where he's out of his punching and kicking ability, and then hopefully take the guy to a submission. That's the idea.
This is a pretty big crowd here.
Yeah, you know, every time you announce one of those matches, they kind of kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, which eventually led to the UFC, you know. The more times we did this, the more interested people showed up, and then, again, the crowds will keep getting bigger, and I said, we have to show this to the world. And that's what led to the creation of the show.
Yeah, so last time we had you on the program, you were giving us some good advice for some proper nutrition and eating with the Gracie diet for Ramadan.
That's right.
You remember that?
Right.
Yeah.
I remember that, of course. This is the secret right here, guys.
Yeah.
That's where it's at. And I follow the combination of the Gracie diet and just change your life for the better.
How was the feedback? Did you get some feedback from when we last got together?
And there's always people that try it for the first time. They don't want to, you know, they think the word diet is very, you know, has a restrictive connotation to it. But I'd remind them that there's not a diet that you can't eat anything. You practically can eat anything you want, as long as you combine the foods properly. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea behind the concept of food combining is to avoid blood acidity and keep your body alkaline, which is, you know, avoiding degenerative and contagious disease. That's the idea. If you can stay your body alkaline, you're protected, especially nowadays, now with this whole thing going on, everybody concerned about keeping a strong immune system and so forth. The best thing you can do is let your health come, you know, strong from within.
I want to talk about some different things. I mean, I'm just going to have a summary because for people that don't know, you have a very unique history. You know, you were in the grind, you know, someone who came over here in the 70s, if that, correct me if I'm ever wrong, you know, multiple times, and then teaching and doing many of these. You attained your law degree back in Brazil, came over here. You were at a YMCA one time, and then you ended up, you know, leaving your money and your documents, and then ended up getting stolen, right? And then you prolonged your trip for 6 months. You know, and ended up actually on the street for some time, you know, begging for money, working as a dishwasher, cleaning. I mean, you just been through so much, you know, you didn't get to where you were easily. You know, you were in the grind. You didn't give up, though. You didn't give up.
Well, that's the whole idea, is that everybody has problems. You know, life is about problems. The question is how you deal with that. There's no such a thing that having a life just a bed of roses that you have nothing to worry about, no concerns. It's not it. And I learned very early on in my life that all bad things happen for a good reason. So I welcome, you know, uncertainty and not being quite sure exactly what's going to happen. That's almost I'm not comfortable in that kind of a state of mind, you know, not having guaranteed everything. And that had made it possible for me to try some things that are, you know, potentially very wild and crazy and oh my gosh, it's not going to work. And I tried, and before you know it, it's happening. And life would have been very different if I didn't feel confident that even under a very stressful situation, there's always something that we can do that can turn things around. People that are not willing to take a chance, they're not really going to do much. And, you know, like the saying goes, if you want to take over the island, you better sink the boat you came in. So that's what it takes. You know, I came here determined to make it happen. And the result is that we ultimately changed the world.
Tell me, I want to do something different here. I want to do some breakdowns with you, watch some videos and get your perspective. But before that, you also, just going into what you said, there's a lot of wisdom in some of the things that you talk about and experiences and some stories. One was, if you can share with us, it stood out with me when you were remodeling the academy down there and you needed this beam for the the people who are going to be doing the stucco or whatever, they gave you a timeline. I said it was tomorrow or the next day.
That's right.
And then you ended up in Home Depot and you needed this one part. But the moral of the story, you could take it from here, was that you had always this faith, you know what I mean? And you had this belief that things happen for a reason, you know what I mean? Like there was a higher power, the creator, you know, watching over. And it's like you were making, I'm sure within yourself, these prayers, and God like answered them, you know? You had faith.
Ultimately, that's what it comes down to, you know, is that you have to believe. We're just little grains of sand, you know, throughout the whole world that we live in. And I have no doubt, at least I'm very convinced, strong believer that there is something up there. People call it God or, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's just whatever. But the bottom line is that there's something over there that runs the universe. And that story that you mentioned, that I need a specific support, like a metal support, to fix a beam at the new academy. The guy was going to come in the next day to put the stucco. I had to have that done. So I went to Home Depot, and I asked for the lady, I need something like this, you know, a specific size. She said, we don't carry that size. We only have the little small size, which is, you know, for home use and stuff like that. That's an industrial size that you're looking for. And I said, where's the aisle that you keep the little home size stuff? She said, well, aisle 8, whatever. So I went to aisle 8 and I looked around. And as I'm looking around, I find one, which is exactly what I wanted, you know, the industrial size. And I brought it to the front desk. She said, hey, listen, lady, you said you didn't have it, but I found one. She said, well, we don't sell this. I don't know what it's doing back there. In fact, she ran the barcode scanner thing and she scanned the little thing on the side of it. She said, it's not even from this shop. I can't sell it. It doesn't belong to Home Depot. Somebody must have left it over there. I mean, I can't even charge them for it. Take it home. So I took it with me for free, something that if you go any other Home Depot at the time, they wouldn't have it. Now they probably have it in stock, but at the time they didn't have it. Bottom line is, she didn't charge me for it. I found exactly the one piece I needed inside of a shop like Home Depot, to finish the job that day, so the next morning the Stucco people could come in and finish the front of the whole building. In other words, if that little some piece wasn't there, it would be in a mess. But like you said, you know, every time I take a step in doing something in my life, I come in with a lot of faith that something is going to happen. There's something watching over me, and that, you know, it has happened. I've learned to count on that kind of help. How's that? And it's fascinating how it works. It's just amazing.
Here's let's get into some of these videos and your reactions. So we know how important the headlock escape is. You have variations from the top to the bottom. And let's get into your comments and thoughts on this headlock escape.
So first thing you want to do, you're baptized.
Yes.
Pull. Mm-hmm. I get popped on my neck.
Yeah.
Hand in here. Pull.
Yeah.
Pull. See, difficult.
Yeah.
First thing, get your hand around here.
Yeah.
What?
Ah!
Yeah? And control your hand. See your hand, I control this hand here?
Yeah.
Because if I let this hand go,
yeah,
you might come in to smack me in the face. See?
Yeah, yeah,
you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So this hand, I grab your thumb. See my thumb here?
Yeah.
Yeah? And hand here.
Mm-hmm.
Now I force you into the slide here.
Yeah.
Okay? So now difficult for you to move. Now move. Move. You see the idea?
Yeah.
What happened in there then? Tell them what happened there.
You squeeze my thumb against the metal.
So when I talk about thing all the time, yeah, because we in outside, you put me in headlock.
No,
go slowly, stop fucking around, man. So I gotta pull this hand instead of squeeze hard,
yeah?
And when I do this, your reaction, see my hand now, got your thumb.
Okay.
I will bring this closest to here, yeah? So when I bring in here, I want full set, see like here now?
Yeah.
So, this is in case you try to find me back.
Mm-hmm.
If you find me back, I force that into here to make sure you're in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hold this hand tight, so difficult for you to hurt me.
Now, if someone has seen it all, you've seen it all. You've went against all different grandmasters in Hapkido, Aikido, Kung Fu, and whatnot. And you've battle tested, you know, that was the whole thing of the USC, battle testing, not just in theory. How many people have those conversations? Well, my style, your style, his style. But come on, it's a science behind the jiu-jitsu, the Gracie jiu-jitsu. There's a science behind it because it was battle tested. What do you think of when you see this kind of, what are your thoughts, your reaction?
Well, you know, he's presenting one way in a circumstance that, you know, made it possible to work. I mean, he's going to do what he thinks works. Ultimately, for me, is, like you said, is battle-tested. You know, the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu that we practice have been done over and over for generations and have the results that we see today. The whole world has embraced that. The question of the person to demonstrate a technique like that is to see if it works for him, great. How would that work in a real fight, you know, against someone who's, you know, bigger, heavier, and stronger swinging punch than him? Is that we have to, one way to find out is to go in there and do it.
Have you been in situations where you have people who they're mesmerizing, you know, people where they'll throw some kind of, you know, force energy, their students will fall to the floor and whatnot. And then have you gone up against people like this and just dismantled and just put everybody's, you know, people who maybe they're sincere, some people it's a gimmick, you know, and a lot of people, sadly, they end up developing this false sense of security. And that's what we want to try to avoid. You want to make sure if you're training a martial art that it's going to really be able to benefit you if you're attacked, if you're in a life-threatening situation. You don't want to train for 20, 30 years and then everything goes to waste, you know, false sense of confidence of the art.
Well, my idea was not to destroy people's self-confidence. You know, that was never the intent.
Yeah.
I've had, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of people come to the garage back in the day because they couldn't believe, you know, when their students start telling, hey, I want to train jiu-jitsu instead of training this martial art with you. The guy say, hey, I want to fight this jiu-jitsu guy. So they would bring the instructors to the academy, I mean, to the garage, and we had a chance to spar with hundreds of people in a very humane way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, most of the time, the people that came to fight to try to beat me up were so impressed with the simplicity and the effectiveness that jiu-jitsu would allow me to have to overcome and control the situation. Those guys said, I need to learn this. And lots and lots and lots of them became students and friends and supporters of the whole thing. Nothing against all martial arts. If it works for you, great. The bottom line is you have to think in terms of how would that fare in an actual street fight. If you have a technique that works, great. The reason I created the UFC, to make that very clear, it was so the people could compare different styles of martial arts. The very first UFCs, if you recall, they were specifically, I would pick different representatives of different styles, put them on the octagon, close the gate, and say, do whatever you want. Two guys walk in, one guy walks out. That's how it makes it work. So ultimately, Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu prevail in such a way that nobody goes into the UFC today at least having an idea of some basics of grappling. If you don't, you don't have a chance. Mm-hmm. So my mission was accomplished when I was able to convey the message that you need to know how to fight on the ground. And that's what the whole idea, you know, came about. And I was fortunately very successful at demonstrating that, made a point of it. And Royce goes in there, the smallest, lightest guy in the tournament, and shows everybody else how it's done.
Let's go into this next video.
The man in the yellow sweatshirt is livid. Let's go, man. After his car was clipped Saturday night here in Jackson Heights.
This is an accident. Accidents do happen. Calm down. I'll give you whatever you need to get. He said, okay, pay me up now.
I need money right there.
But Mohi Ahmed did not have the $1,000 the man was demanding for repairs.
And he said that I'm going to kill him now. Then I said, no, you are not touching my son. And then immediately he hit me.
One right hook. Mohi's son, Adele, watched his father fall to the ground here on 70th Street.
And then I've never seen my dad knocked out and put in such a humiliating way like this. Never. You know, and I just did the loudest yell that I could possibly do. I just, like, it was so loud, but I wanted to cry. I couldn't.
A woman was with the guy in the sweatshirt. She tried to stop him, but then watch as he goes after Adele.
At that point, you know, I think you saw I was kind of in a prone position, so I just kind of did this, and, you know, I could hear, you know, pound, pound, pound.
Police say the attacker took their phones and wallet.
But me, I was just shaking uncontrollably.
I don't want anybody else to go through it. Because yes. The guy, he did it to me, he will do it to somebody else. Maybe next time it will be worse.
And while the welts are starting to heal, the emotional wounds are raw.
I was embarrassed that I couldn't do anything to protect my father. That this man just trampled, you know, on our dignity, that was
really sad to see. What are your reactions now when you see something? Could this, if someone was trained, you know, a level of blue belt,
if he knew, you know, jiu-jitsu, there's absolutely no way that would have happened. He definitely had the elements to control his opponent. That's number one. Unfortunately, we live in a world that is, you know, getting crazier and crazier by the minute. And people like that are not going to disappear. Aggressors and attackers like that, criminals, should be punished, you know, to the full extent of the law. But sometimes you just can't expect somebody to be protecting all the time. That is the importance of knowing how to defend yourself. This man should learn, find a place where he can learn to defend himself and practice that. And that would be good for him, give himself confidence and the ability to defend himself. But ultimately, you just don't count on people being around to protect you. You have to know how to do it yourself. And again, those hoodlums are going to be around forever. It's part of life. So,
yeah, just it has me thinking, just, you know, because a lot of people train jiu-jitsu, but the butterfly guard and other things, it's effective when you're playing sports jiu-jitsu, but just knowing the core elements of Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is what we teach at our academy also, and this is what the Gracie system is about, is teaching you how to defend yourself in these situations.
Absolutely. The idea of jiu-jitsu has always been prepare you to defend yourself. It's ultimately, it's a self-defense system.
So, yes.
The best, you know what I'm saying? So if you're just going to see the sportive aspect of jiu-jitsu, which is really good, nothing wrong, you know, how to, you know, spar on the ground and roll around and stuff like that is great. But sometimes what happens is an individual goes into a school where the focus, for example, is sportive jiu-jitsu, right? So the guy's training up, goes up in the ranks, you know, blue, purple, brown, eventually gets a black belt, wins a tournament as a black belt, and because he was able to hold a certain position, he gets an advantage, and now he wins a tournament, and now he's got a black belt, and now he opens up a school. He opens up a school, and he's going to teach what he knows, which is the same concept of this sport, which you just alone, depriving his students from learning the ultimate program of self-defense, which is basically the idea behind jiu-jitsu to begin with. So because the focus is going to be just on the sparring aspect of it and the sportive aspect of it, the students will never have the opportunity to learn something that could protect them in a real-life situation. That is the problem. And in fact, this book here that my father did called Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, which is now available, it's now available, the revised edition, it's, you know, we're doing a special sale in the book. If you go to Amazon, you can find it over there for a special price, $25 off. Covers all the stand-up techniques, exactly the stuff you're talking about, which is the moves like this that shows you what to do in different circumstances, that if you get, you know, find yourself in different positions and stuff, no matter what that is, it covers all the different possibilities, like different attacks and stuff like that. This is the original self-defense program that my father developed back in the 50s for the original Gracie Academy in Brazil and so forth. So I highly recommend that you practice not only this kind of techniques, but find a school where self-defense is the focus. You know, that's the idea.
I saw one time a video, and this is how, just stressing how important it is, like basic things like headlock escape, because someone can go ahead and hold your head, and just by knowing the proper technique of turning in towards the person instead of away, because I saw a video where someone was choking someone, and the person turns their head opposite, and what happens, they end up in a choke now. And yes, the person ended up going unconscious. And now the person who's holding it, he doesn't know to let go, and he continues to hold. So only God knows if he ended up, you know, brain damage, kill the guy. Yes. But if you know just from one class that you end up going to, and you learn the techniques, you know, from that class, that can be applied right away if something was to go down.
Absolutely. It can make all the difference. Knowing what to do and not knowing makes all the difference. You know, down the street, you don't know if you turn left or right. You know, yeah, you go left, it goes to one place, you go right, you go in another direction. So having a little bit of knowledge, and this program was devised to teach you the whole general concept in like 36 classes. It's basically, it's all you need, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you get the basics on that, no matter what situation you find yourself in, eventually, at least you have an idea of which way to go. It makes a huge difference.
Now, some might ask, what do you do in this situation, Horian? This is now a woman, and what's your reaction to something like this now?
A violent carjacking at a gas station in Northwest Houston. All of this caught on camera.
Yeah, thieves attacked and they robbed a woman there. The good news is police found her car and they have that surveillance video right there that may help track down these guys.
Yeah, Chris Costa is live with more on how to stay safe in these kind of situations and avoid becoming a victim. Chris.
Yeah, Russ and Reka, Crime Stoppers of Houston say these types of robberies happen all the time, almost every day. The good news for that woman, those security cameras got a clear look at the suspects' faces. The moment a woman is attacked, gets caught on camera, two men confront a woman at a gas station in the middle of the night. The cameras at the station get a clear look at their faces. One man grabs the woman.
She immediately tries to take a swipe to protect herself, to keep them off of her.
The other starts going through her truck. The woman fights back, kicking at her attacker, until they both take off, stealing her truck.
Really sad to see, and it's interesting, he said they happen every day. What, someone says, look, how's Gracie Jiu-Jitsu going to benefit me there?
Well, number one is her safety. I mean, it's important that you understand that two males attacking one woman, there's a very good chance that she could get very seriously injured. Yeah. It could be armed or not. There's endless possibilities. So by her getting away from the guy, which is a smart thing to do, is one thing. She also, you know, as you saw, she was on the ground using the feet to keep the guy away, which is, one way to keep the distance. She did what she could in there, assuming that she didn't know anything. But you can't expect a woman to learn self-defense and go out and hunt and beat guys up. That's not the idea. The idea is to defend yourself. I think she was very lucky that they, you know, just took whatever she could, took the truck and got away. Lucky that she was in a situation that was well lit and the cameras caught the bad guys. Again, criminals and hoodlums are going to be attacking people all the time. It's up to you to have at least a little bit of a basic knowledge of what to do so you can increase your chance of success and hopefully getting away safely and unharmed.
Yeah, that's what I often tell my students is, I mean, now you're equipped, you know, to have a little more confidence, you know, to deal with some situations, so at least you can get yourself out and you can, and if not to go and if you don't need to fight, you can flee at least. You can get out,
that's,
you know,
right,
instead of being totally vulnerable.
Victory.
Yeah. And this is what we see, like your father, Carlos Gracie, Helio Gracie, you know, the system that was developed, it was about survival. It was about, you know, a small person being able to fight off and survive against someone who is much larger, stronger, dominant. And we see your father, you know, fighting for like 3 hours and 40 minutes in some.
Yes.
Is that?
Yeah, the idea, if you, a woman like that, for example, being able to go home, she won.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you see a cheetah chasing the little deer, if the deer escapes, he won. He doesn't have to go out there and cheat him. You know, as long as he goes home that night, he did all right.
Uh-huh. I remember you were talking about this love and reverence that Helio had for Carlos. Carlos for Helio. They were, you know, they also, between the two, had 30 kids.
Yes.
Yeah. And tell us any stories that come to mind, you know, from, I know your father at one time, he actually saved someone from a ship, right? Someone was, he jumped off the ship to bring them in.
Yeah, the guy, they were going from northern Brazil on a ship, northern Brazil to Rio, and halfway down the coast, a passenger, you know, goes into the water. Nobody knew at the time, but the guy was trying to commit suicide. That's how he got in there.
Yeah.
But then they see a guy floating on the water, and you know, everybody sees that. Eventually, the captain sends a boat with five sailors to rescue the man. And the guy is like, you know, a couple hundred yards away from the ship by the time they got to him. And the man was so weak that every time the little boat, the tides were going very, you know, up and down. And every time the little boat got close to him, it would get out of grip on the man. The tide would lift up the boat and they would lose grip on the guy. And they tried that over and over, over several times. My father, who was on the deck of the ship, thinking out loud, said, how come somebody from the little boat does not jump in the water so they can help the guy up, because the man is obviously too weak. He can barely keep himself afloat. And a sailor behind him said, this is abrolhos, thinking that my father knew what abrolhos meant. And my dad had no idea. Abrolho happens to be one of the highest concentration of sharks on the Atlantic Ocean, the abrolhos reef on the coast of Brazil. So what the guy meant is they're not going in because this is shark land, you know? Anyways, my father, not knowing that, just watching like everybody else the situation, until the captain signals to the guys on the boat to let the guy leave the man behind and row back to the ship. So now the sailors are rowing back to the ship after leaving the guy behind in the middle of the ocean. So at that point, my father turned to his brother, Carlos, and said, that man is going to be left to die. You know, do you want to go save the guy? Uncle Carlos said, I can't make it. And my father said, I think I can. He said, go for it. So my dad stripped down his clothes and, you know, to his jocks or whatever, and then jumps off the ship. He said when he was airborne, he thought, what if there are sharks? You can't rewind that button. So he went flat on his stomach, swimming towards the guy. And as a little boat is returning to the ship, he say, let's go back. And they turn around. They all go back to where the man is. And ultimately, he is in the water with the guy, helps the guy out and put him on the little boat. And they bring the guy back to the ship and so forth. And when he returns to the ship, they, you know, hoist the boat up. And then everything is resolved. And my father is ultimately called into the captain's quarters. The captain wanted to talk to him. And he said, Captain, I'm sorry. He said, hey, Mr. Grace, don't say anything, said the captain to him. Let me tell you something. If my mother had come to visit me here in this region, in this area, and on getting out of the boat to step into the ship, she fell in the water, and her life would depend on me fishing her out of the water with my foot, I wouldn't do it for my mother. So what you did is nothing to apologize for. Congratulations, thank you very much, blah, 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 the whole thing. To a big party for him on the ship and stuff like that, it was good. Mm-hmm. Many years later, I asked my dad, Dad, were you afraid? He said, Jorge, I was absolutely petrified when he jumped. He said, I was so scared that I was swimming as fast as I could to get to the man, so that if a shark showed up, he would have a choice of biting him instead of biting me. That's how scared I was. So ultimately, feeling fear is only a natural thing, of course, especially under the circumstances. But I wanna bring the attention here to our listeners that fear is part of life, you know, to be afraid of a certain situation. Fear is a defense mechanism that wants to protect you. Anybody who says, well, I'm not afraid of anything, I'll do anything, that's an inconsequent person. It's not that he's not afraid, he's just not thinking straight. He's not very bright. You have to measure your chance of success. To jump on the water that potentially is shark-infested water is something that you should be afraid of. You know what I'm saying? However, what my father saw in that circumstance was that he saw his mission as something bigger than his fear. So for him, the idea of seeing a man drowned to death, it was not, he couldn't accept that. He said, if I can, I'm going to try to help the guy. So he jumped, was swimming, like I said, very, very scared, got to the man, and did put the guy inside the boat, helped to put the guy on the boat and save the guy's life. Again, he embraced his fear as something bigger, you know, I mean, his mission as something bigger than his fear. So this is what we have to do sometimes. You find ourselves in a very difficult spot, and you have to kind of be able to understand that, you know, prioritize yourself and see if it's something that you should be, you know, pushing as hard as you can with your life behind it and so forth. But fear is just part of the deal. Don't expect to live without fear, because that's not going to happen.
Once again, we're with the innovator, the founder, the originator of the UFC, the one who started it all, ninth degree red belt, Grandmaster Horian Gracie. This was before Dana White. Where was Dana White at that time?
I don't know where Dana White was at that time. No, 2 years before him. He did a great job promoting the thing, though.
Yeah.
I must take my hat. The guy did an amazing job.
Amazing, yeah.
Took it to make it, yeah, one of the biggest, you know, if not the fastest growing sport in the world. Very popular, all over the place. I'm very happy that it was a good transition. One time I was having dinner with him and I said, hey, I feel like I fathered a baby. You adopted a child. Send him to Harvard. Now the kid is running Wall Street.
Wow.
But it's still my baby, you know?
Yeah, but many people don't know that. This was before Dana, before the two brothers. This is way... This is the original, you know, when it all started. Yeah. And you were doing all these even before the UFC. I mean, these challenge matches that were happening, you know, to prove without a doubt that Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is the most effective martial art, not just by theory, but actually, this was a science. It was battle tested. And then you went above and beyond, and you started also to bring back to light something that Carlos Gracie was really adamant about nutrition. And
yes.
The last time I remember, I'll never forget, I still use this a lot when I'm talking about one of my favorite subjects, nutrition, is how people are managing the symptoms and not going to the root of the problem and strengthening the immune system. And you made an example. It's just like the check engine light that comes on and you put a Band-Aid over it.
That's right.
I got that from you. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then take off with this. You said the world champion who cannot beat his desire for ice cream. You know, this is a big problem. Talk about this.
Well, ultimately, you know, for you to be successful at anything, one of the strong ingredients is discipline.
Discipline,
you know, you have to master self-discipline, to have the willpower to do what it takes. If you want to be, to succeed and excel and to go beyond everything, it's going to require that you have certain qualities. You know, the willpower, the self-control, the discipline to do that is really important. And if you want to be healthy, you have to study health. The same way you learn, you know, you want to be an engineer, you have to study engineering. And if you're going to be a doctor or a teacher, whatever, pianist, you have to study that subject. And most people learn to eat great. Grandmother teaches grandma. Grandma teaches mom. Mom teaches us. And we're going to teach our kids what we like to eat. For most people, the pleasure, the flavor becomes the determining factor why you eat some things and you don't eat other things. I like it, I eat it. I don't like it, I don't eat it. But liking, just because you like it, doesn't mean it's good for you. The trick is to learn to like the things that are good for you. That's the secret. It's easy for you to develop the habits for something that's not, you know, but good for your health. So the secret for failure is a few bad habits repeated every day. You keep doing the same thing over and over. You know, eventually you have to pay that bill. You know, it's going to have to catch up with you. You can't assume that you keep doing something wrong over and over and over. It's gonna catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
While the same way, the secret for, you know, the formula for failure is to repeat the same bad habits every single day. The formula for success is to embrace new healthy habits little by little. They keep changing. You have to rearrange your lifestyle. You have to choose the right thing. You know, we're here to grow and to spiritually mature and evolve and so forth. You're not here just to eat, wake up in the morning, have breakfast, you know what I'm saying, and then go to work and make a paycheck, go to the bathroom and go to sleep at night. And just, that's not it. We have to grow more than anything in the spiritual aspect of our life. And the food, the discipline of learning to eat the right thing is very important. When I was 5 years old, I would go to birthday parties with my brothers. And when we get there, the fathers of the kids would cut a piece of, you know, chocolate cake or whatever, give it to everybody, a piece of cake. I say, no, thank you very much. It's not my time to eat. And, you know, I have a 5-year-old kid telling an adult, it's not my time to eat. Thank you very much. You call my dad, say, hey, what's going on? The kid's here at a birthday party, not eating the cake, say it's not his time to eat. And my father had to explain that we have a certain diet, that we eat certain things. We just went there to party and play with the kid, but don't worry about us as far as feeding us. Of course, my dad was wise enough to feed us dinner before we went to the party, so that we'd not be hungry looking at a piece of chocolate cake, wanting to eat that. But everybody's already, you know, full, and, you know, just went there to play, literally. And for us, the concept of learning how to eat properly was much more than just the food combination. It was the fact that we developed a level of discipline that would serve us in different aspects of our life. When you, as we talked about last time, right before Ramadan, you know, why do you do that? Why do you obey that concept? Why can't you just go home by yourself and just say, there's nobody home, I'm going to stuff myself at noon? Because you know this is not where it's at. You have to respect certain things. You have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm doing the right thing. So the same thing for us, was for me or for the family, was the concept of the diet. We eat certain things, we don't mix certain things. There's a certain guideline. And I'm 70 years old. I'll be 70 in a couple of months. I feel great. I never had a cavity in my life.
Wow.
My body works. I don't take medicine for anything. I'm 70 years old. The average guy after 50 is taking 5 pills a day. You know what I'm saying? Everything works fine the way it should. My clothes size that I wear today is the same thing I was wearing 25, 50 years ago when I was 25 years old. So the bottom line is that it pays off to be healthy in the long run. I think I mentioned to you the last time I saw my dad, I went to visit the old man on his ranch in Brazil 6 months before he passed away. He was 94 and a half. I went to visit the old man. And when I get there, he gives me a kiss and say, Jorge, let's go on the mat. I want to show you a new choke I'm working on. At 94, he kicked my butt. I mean, that's the way life should be. You live as long as you're young, and then you die. You know what I'm saying? Because all of us, we know people that we love dearly, and as they get older, they start deteriorating and getting weaker and sick, and just kind of the whole thing starts falling out. It's sad, and unfortunately for them, going through that kind of painful sometimes experience. And for us, there's not much we can do. We watch a lot of person just kind of, you know, deteriorate and just kind of define. It's not good. My dad was different. He lived like this for a long time, you know, and then went away. One day, he just gone. That's the way it should be, you know. That's the way it should be for all of us. But if you don't invest in your health now, it's going to be one of those that just goes like a little bit, getting worse by day. And that's not good. That's not healthy. That's not, you know, my theory is that you have to seriously consider, how do you want to spend the last 10 years of your life? Do you want to spend 10 years, you know, joyfully enjoying playing with your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, you know, rolling around, visiting, you know, traveling and having fun? And then when you wake up and say, I'm out of here, like my father did. Or do you want to just getting sicker and sicker and getting worse and all kinds of health problems? That's not it. That's not what it's at. And yeah. I'm living proof that this Gracie diet stuff works. The combination pays off. Bukau spent 65 years studying food combining.
Wow.
And he was not a doctor. He just did research on his own, came up with some amazing conclusions on how you should combine your food. And if you don't mind, I'll give you a quick breakdown here of 2 minutes.
Yes, please.
Number one, we do not mix starches. When I eat bread, I don't eat potato. If I eat rice, I don't eat beans. Everybody in Brazil is rice and beans. I don't. So it's the fact that everybody else is doing it is out of ignorance. They're not sure exactly why and why not. They just developed the habit of doing it. So we don't mix starches, okay? It's better for you to have 2 hamburgers than having 1 hamburger and 1 french fry. Because the bread and the potato are different starches. They should not be mixed on the same meal. I can have the rice and I can have the beans, but not rice and beans together. That's the idea. So that's rule number one. Number two, when we eat food, like cooked food, that is prepared with oil or butter or fat of any kind, we do not eat sugar. In other words, after you have a meal that you have, you know, fish or chicken and vegetables and pasta, for example, you don't want to have fruits. You don't want to have a bowl of ice cream or a piece of cake for dessert. There's no dessert because they usually have sugar, and sugar with the fat that the food was prepared with is not a good, healthy combination for you. So no dessert. 2 reasons. Number one, you're not hungry. After you have a meal, you usually are not hungry. You just like a little sweet because it tastes good. That 5 minutes of pleasure there has long-time negative consequences on your health if you do that for a long time. Not good for you. So take me on, you know, trust me on that. And rule number three is that you must wait for one meal to digest completely before you eat a second meal. In other words, if you have a meal at 8 o'clock in the morning, you have to wait at least 4.5 to 5 hours until you eat the next meal. There's no such a thing as snacks in between meals. You don't have a breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then at 10:30, 11 o'clock, you have a fruit or, you know, a little cookie or a cup of coffee, and then a couple hours later, you eat lunch. No such a thing.
How about liquids? What about something like liquids?
Only water. Only water. Fresh coconut water or regular water?
How about water with lemon? With lemon and honey?
No.
No?
No. No. Absolutely not. No. In fact, lemon is an acidic fruit, which is extremely beneficial for your health, but it has to be taken almost as a medicine. When I consume lemon, I make a half a glass of lemon juice. Plain half. I can either put water or sparkling water or fresh coconut water, and I drink that once a week. A major boost for your immune system. Drink that meal pure as a meal. 8 o'clock in the morning, then I wait until 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and have regular lunch. And
yeah. Yeah, because I know, I mean, we know water is so important, but getting the water, the enough water into the system by itself, sometimes it could be daunting. So I myself, I like to put lemon, a whole lemon into the water and a little bit of, just a little bit of honey. And I'll drink a lot of water this way. What do you think?
I highly recommend you don't do that.
No?
No lemon, no honey, no nothing. Just water.
Just water. Got to get used to it.
When you drink, if anything, drink coconut water, fresh coconut water. Don't get the one in the box or a can or stuff like that. They usually are not that good.
Yeah.
But the better, if we can have access to fresh coconut, great. If not, just regular water.
Okay.
You know? I need you healthy so that we can do interviews like this every 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And next time we got to make it. You know, I've been down there. If you're going to visit, we got to do one in person. If you're ever in Chicago, I don't know if in the future you plan on being in Chicago, we can bring you actually in the studio. Or if I'm there in California, hopefully we can meet in person, do the interview in person next time. How's that sound?
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just a few more questions before we conclude. And this is just a comment on, you know, it's really tragic. It's sad because you have 70% of us here in America that are obese or overweight. This is the first generation of kids not expected to outlive their parents. You know, you have, people on multiple cocktail of medications. You know what I mean? One in two males suspected to have cancer, one in three females. It's just chronic diseases is just an epidemic. We prescribe more drugs, but we have more sick people. It doesn't make sense. And the majority of people, the healthcare system is not talking about, you know, the food, you know, and most people don't link the food that they put into their body to the disease and everything that's happening because the system is not set up like that.
Correct. Hippocrates, the father of medicine, said that let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food. But nobody does that. You know, I do.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, so this is so important. We want to stress this. You know, this fact about food. You know, get your food right. You know, this is going to be tremendous for having an impact on your health.
Once again, the book is available on Amazon. I highly recommend your listeners to check it out. You know, it's the best thing you can do for your health.
Yeah. So you don't drink alcohol.
No,
you don't eat. I believe I'm not. I read the book years ago.
I don't eat pork.
You don't eat pork, okay?
The one thing on the grace of that I recommend people don't do is eat pork.
Okay.
I personally don't eat red meat. You know, maybe chicken once a month, every couple of months, and I would just fish once in a while.
Yeah. So we end up we shouldn't eat that much meat. I mean, is overconsumption of meat, but you're not. You don't restrict yourself once in a while. You'll also eat meat, right? Chicken,
yeah,
like you just
meat,
said.
I just kind of lost the taste for it. You know?
Yeah.
The taste of it doesn't mean. But yes, it's on the diet. Okay, if you want to eat it, it combines within the Gracie diet.
What was he, Carlos Gracie Jr. was talking about something about taking on the attributes of when you eat red meat. You know, this, let's say you eat the meat of an animal that is aggressive. This will make you more aggressive. This was the philosophy, something like that. Is there something to that?
No, I'm not sure exactly what he meant on that. Uncle Carlos was, you know, the idea of eating red meat, he himself did not eat. I'm talking about Uncle Carlos.
His son. I was talking about his son, yeah.
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 Yeah. If you eat the meat of a lion, you're going to be aggressive as a lion. I'm not sure exactly what he meant.
Yeah.
But he probably is the animal when it's going to be slaughtered, they are to a stress of very, you know, tense and stress.
Yeah.
And all that fear kind of stuff. Maybe that's what he meant.
Yeah, and something like that, yeah.
By eating that kind of meat, I mean, you just might, who knows what kind of, residuals are going to go in there and you're going to be assimilating that kind of stuff. So for whatever reason, you're better off not eating red meat. I agree with that.
So you have, No pork, no smoking, no drinking, eating good food, having a big family. I mean, in Islam, we're allowed to have up to four wives. I don't know if you've... but you have to take care of them all individually. They have to have their own place. You have to, you know, monetarily take care of them. It's not like, you know, they're all in the same, you know, but it, yeah, so this is a huge responsibility. But then I just see the similarities, you know, I see much there, you know, when you know, you're yourself, you have 10 kids also, a big fam. Is it 10 kids or 11 now? Yeah. Your father had, between him and them two, 30.
Yeah, so, my dad had nine, Uncle Kofi had 21.
Yeah. So, I would see like, you know, quotations from your father. He would mention God. Were these actual his words, you know, whenever there would be something about the creator, about God?
Well, my father was a man of faith. He believed there was a definite creator out there that ran the universe for sure. But, yeah, not a church going man, but it was a firm believer on the creator, yes.
Yeah. This was something, I mean, my family's from the heart of Europe, Bosnia. You've been in different places in Europe, right? Have you ever been to like Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia, anywhere around there?
No. Okay. I'd love to see and visit.
Yeah. Oh, this is a place, you know, put it on your to-do list. But it's interesting, this is where, you know, the roots there, they were also the people, my tradition, the Bosnian people, they were also ones who believed in one God, the creator. They didn't go to the churches, or they believed in Jesus, but not as a literal God or son of God. And when Islam came, it fit like a glove, the pure monotheism, only worshiping the creator, not the creation. Then they accepted it. So, and then all these other, you know, it was the belief in just one and only one God and being morally upright. So you see this, you know, this from yourself and the family. Not, I mean, we all have people in our family who do opposite to many of the things, but it seems like there's this good moral code, this compass, and also many of these things. It's very, very, very refreshing to see, especially in a day and age like this, where, you know, it's all sorts of madness and crazy and no discipline, willpower is out the window, and people are just following their desires and passions and sinking like a sinking ship.
Yeah. Right. Immediate pleasure, that kind of stuff, it's not good.
Yeah.
Think of a long term on everything.
Yeah. Sure. So let's end with this. You talked about spiritual, evolving spiritually. And again, I just wanted to do something different to show people can go back and see many of your other interviews for much more of the history and whatnot. But I think a lot of the audience, we have an array of different people from all over the world. I think they would just really appreciate this next video just to get your reaction, just to, you know, for a minute to tell us what kind of music do you think this is? What does it sound like? You know, just whatever you think from listening to this for 1 minute.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insana 'allamahu al-bayan. الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة النخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان خلق الإنسان.
What is that song?
It's nice sayings and good guidelines, I guess. Ultimately, that's what every religion, I guess, has to, as a goal, is to inspire its followers to do what's best and do the right thing. So I think somewhere in there, they all kind of connect, going for the same thing. So it's nice.
It's Grandmaster Horian Gracie. Again, really nice to reunite with you and have you on the program. And again, the book now, very important. Self-defense, being able to defend yourself. You find yourself in such a vulnerable situation, like you saw the father and son. The guy knocks both of them out, you know?
Yeah.
And the antidote for that is getting educated in Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And then you put your, as we have a saying, you tie your camel, then you put your trust in God, right? Yeah.
Have faith in Allah, I'll tie up your camel.
Yes, yes.
And two more things, if you don't mind. Number one is that people that want to hear more stories about the Gracie, they should check out graciemuseum.com. GracieMuseum.com. That's one. It's a virtual museum that you can do a 360 tour, and that's really interesting. And of course, the book until October 5th is on sale on Amazon, $25 off. I highly recommend that as well. And if you want to be healthy, the Gracie Diet, check it out.
Thank you so much. Again, it's an honor to be with you again, and hopefully, God willing, we can meet up again soon.
Thank you very much again.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
All right.